Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McRavy, who has spent the last week and a half just breaking down tons and tons of Vandy tape and using that off week to just get all excited for this week's game, which is a 3 p.m. start today. SEC Network, for those of you who don't want to make the trip to Faurot Field. Kyle, what do you know about Vandy other than the fact that it's a Vandy team that's definitely in search of a long-awaited SEC win?
Yeah, there's a ton to break down about it. It's just a fascinating team. Vanderbilt's bad.
Right.
I mean, it's not... there's not a lot there.
Sure.
It's a bad team.
We'll start with the fact that they are 3-4, so you say, okay, who are the three wins against? Well, that would be Hawaii.
Who is arguably the worst team in the FBS.
That would be Elon.
Yeah.
And that would be Northern Illinois. So,
which they had to come back from down two scores against.
Exactly. So, yeah, you're right. It's a 3-4 Vandy team. That the three is not an overly impressive three. And like we say, they're on a 24-game skid in the SEC. So, it's worth noting that that last SEC win came against Missouri 3 years ago. So, yeah. So that's just part of the intrigue getting into this matchup, I guess.
Yeah, Missouri's won the last two matchups, I think five of the last six. But yeah, that game in 2019 is the last time Vanderbilt won an SEC game.
Right.
Vanderbilt's lost its first three in the SEC this year, all against top of the SEC teams.
Sure.
I think Alabama, Georgia, and Ole Miss are the three, and they gave up 50 points to all three of them.
Yeah, so I was going to say, I think the combined scores of those games was 162-31. So, yeah, it's not like any of those games have been close.
Most of those 31 came against Mississippi.
There's
not a lot of upsides to Vanderbilt's team.
Right.
They started off with a junior quarterback to begin the year, I think, in their loss to Wake Forest, like halfway through, they switched to a freshman who then won them a game against Northern Illinois. So, I don't know. They're going to go with the freshman, I think. He's been taking the majority of the duties under center. They've got one good receiver, I think, who's taken most of the receptions. I think he's got like 8 of their 12 passing touchdowns or something.
That'd be Will Shepard. Yeah,
it's just not good.
Yeah,
I don't know what else to say.
And the hard part about it is you just don't know kind of what to, because again, if I told you before the start of the season, which we like to do this a lot when we're talking these things, if you would have said, okay, they're going to come out in their first SEC games and they're going to lose 55-3 to Alabama, you go, yeah, sure, totally see that coming.
To then number two Alabama.
Exactly. You're going to come out and lose 52-28 to Ole Miss, who's much better this year. That might have been a little surprising because I think Ole Miss is better than I thought, maybe some of us thought at the beginning.
But also then a top 10 Ole Miss.
Exactly. And then you go, okay, then they're going to lose 55-0 to Georgia.
Yeah,
you go, sure, all of that makes sense. So I think it's more along the lines of, I guess, the conversation this week should be is, how worried, or should we be at all worried about Vandy? And I think, again, I don't think it's a Missouri team that can take anybody lightly, but I also feel like you've had 2 weeks to prepare for this team. I don't think there's any way you come out flat and take this team lightly. Now, does that happen today? I guess I'll turn that over to you and say, what's the chance of that happening?
So the other thing to look at is Missouri, also 0-3 in conference play.
Sure.
You know, doesn't even have the third win because they didn't get to play Hawaii.
Right.
You know, the Missouri is the only team, I think, below Vanderbilt in the conference standings because of that one extra non-con win.
Right.
Missouri's games have been significantly closer in conference. They're all one-score losses instead of 55-point drudgings.
Right.
But you're at a point in the season for the Tigers where you cannot afford to look past anybody because you cannot afford to get caught in a trap game, right? I wrote my column this week for the News Tribune on, like, it's win now time to save the season.
Sure.
You have to win. this week. Right. You have to win next week, and you have to win against, what is it, New Mexico State. Like, you need those three wins, and then you probably need to win one of your other three games, which are all going to be significantly tougher, if you want to save this season.
And, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you can kind of see both sides to everything that you've been hearing lately. So I know that Martez Manuel came out this week and said, you know, we're 3 or 4 plays away from being 5-1 right now.
Which they are. That's a reasonable argument.
It's absolutely reasonable. The problem is you want to go, okay, I get that, but you're not.
Right.
So let's right now focus on, we have to make every play to avoid having a couple of those plays. So I get the fact, yes, I'm not arguing with him. He's exactly right when he says that. It's just you don't want that to be a thing where you go, okay, yeah, you're right, so we can relax a little bit. They can't afford to relax against anybody. So I want to make sure that, you know, that they're as focused as maybe you and I are focused, saying, don't take this team lightly because you can't afford to. And I don't think they will, but it's also like you don't want to have them have anything that leads them to be a little more complacent than they need to be.
Right. And it's interesting that argument comes up. I think I mentioned that when we had our bye week podcast last week. But yeah, there's kind of one play in each of the last three games where you can point to it and say, like, you changed the outcome of that play and you probably changed the outcome of the game.
Right.
But that also, there's another side to that argument. There's the side where, yeah, you're in all three of those games. You have a chance to win all three of those games. There's the other side, which is, situationally, that means you were pretty bad.
Right.
Right? You blew it
in
all three of those
games.
In
big situations.
You did not make the play when the play needed to be made. That's what the other side of that argument is.
The other thing that maybe worries me is that this is not a game that worries me, because I do think at the end of the day, I think Missouri's going to get a win in this one, and I think they should. If they don't, that'll be a big problem. But I do feel like, from what I've seen this year from both of these teams, they're the much better team. They're much more skilled. They're much better equipped to be in the SEC right now than Vandy is. The thing that worries me, though, is that you did have a team that, yes, while the results weren't there, you had a Missouri team that was kind of playing very well. It was kind of getting in that week-to-week flow of, we're playing somebody tough, and yeah, we lost, but then we got to bounce back. And they did, and they played well, but they still got a loss, but they bounced back, and they played very well. My hope is that the week off didn't you know, whatever things they were building towards or whatever kind of flow they were getting into gets disrupted by that off week. So that's just the one worry that I have coming off an off week against the team that you think you should have some success against. Those two things go hand in hand, and all of a sudden you come out and you just lay an egg in that first quarter, and then all of a sudden you're going, scratching your head going, what do we do?
Right. It either might have been the worst possible time for a bye week or the best possible time.
Right.
Right? Because you've got those three wins in a row where you were so close, and you say, like, oh, man, we were one play away.
Right.
And if you get 3 or 4 of those in a row, it can really start to spiral.
Sure.
You know, into, like, man, we just can't finish. So maybe that bye week is in the perfect spot where it's like, okay, look, scrap it.
Right.
The first half of the season's over.
Sure.
Now we know what we need to do the rest of the way.
Right.
It starts now. You know, or maybe it's, man, we were on a roll. We almost beat Georgia.
Right.
We almost beat Florida. And now we get Vandy. Like, oh, that's, you know, we should be able to just roll into that week.
Right.
And now you've taken the extra week.
But yeah.
I would hope that it's a situation where you say, all right, look, that happened. We know we're good enough to be right there with these top teams in the conference.
Yeah.
So let's go out and roll over Vandy.
Yeah. The other good thing that can come out of a bye week is obviously getting healthy during that time, because I do feel like you played some hard-hitting games. You had some stuff where you've got some people that had some injuries. Your hope is that extra week of rest and all of a sudden gets people ready for this second half of the season and gets you kind of, you know, all hands on deck back when you need it. Especially where you go, okay, you know, yeah, we saw a little bit less of Dominic Lovett than we wanted to see that last game. Maybe he gets back to where he was, because I think he was fantastic the first couple games of the season. So let's get him back to where he needs to be. The other thing that comes out of bye week sometimes is you go, okay, and we did hear it came out this week where, you know, they got a chance to work on the backup quarterback situation. I think Brady Cook has obviously proven that he's the guy going forward. I don't know, for better or worse, he's the guy, I think, this year. But it did sound like people were optimistic about how that week went for the backup quarterback. So, you know, you hope that maybe they use that time wisely and maybe some good stuff comes out of it. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll start with the injury stuff. The injury report just came out as we're recording this.
Okay.
And everybody who's been questionable the last couple of games, or, you know, last 2 weeks ago now, the last game, are now probable.
Okay. So
Dominic Lovett's probable. Luther Burden's probable. You know, the guys you expect to see out there who have maybe been limited recently are all probable, which is, yeah, like you said, a great thing about bye week. This seems like a game where you should be able to just say, like, yeah, you come out and roll over Vandy for homecoming.
Right.
Right? Especially, it's homecoming.
Right. This,
you schedule a game on homecoming that you know you can win.
Exactly.
So go out and win it.
Right. Right. And I hope that maybe, you know, the report was, oh, Sam Horn looked great in practice last week. You know, he quarterbacked the two touchdown drives in the scrimmage we had, and that's great. Well, that might be a guy who we do get to see a little bit more of this week. That'll be interesting to see if he can build off that, if he does get some audition time. Because, again, I feel like this is the one game on the schedule where I looked at it in the early going and thought, we're going to see plenty of guys in this one. I mean, we thought we might see that earlier in the season, you know, in the non-conference games. But just with the placement of the schedule, those were games where they weren't necessarily as sharp as they were a couple games later. So you weren't going to see a lot of those guys doing that. I think we're going to see a lot of guys we maybe haven't seen this week, if it goes how it should.
If it goes, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, on the backup quarterback front, it was against Kansas State's really the only time that we've seen any switch at the quarterback spot.
Right.
That was Jack Abraham, who you're probably going to him as your backup just because he's like a seventh-year senior.
Right.
I mean, it's insane how much college football experience he has.
Yeah.
Sam Horn is probably at a point now, there's six games left, right?
Yes.
I think you can play in four and retain a redshirt.
Okay.
So I think the idea is probably going to be retain his redshirt.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you might see him in parts of this game, or if he looks good enough in this game, in parts going forward.
Right.
And that's kind of been a thing that, you know, I think we talked about it on the season preview pod, where if the offense didn't look very good, you might start hearing some Sam Horn chants, because he was pretty highly touted coming in.
Sure.
In a situation where maybe if he had done the early enrollment stuff that you see a lot of kids do now and had come in at the same time as Luther in the spring,
right,
instead of playing high school baseball because he also wants to play college baseball.
Sure.
And coming in the fall, maybe we would have seen him before. So, you know, we'll see. This should definitely be a game where you get the opportunity to take a look.
Yeah, that's almost, to me, the more intriguing part of it going forward is, you know, yeah, say you're looking at four games out of the six. You know, obviously you probably want to play him in the four games where he can have the most success, which means leaving him out of the Kentucky and Tennessee games.
Right.
But it's almost like, well, but then you almost get forced into using him if, you know, somebody gets hurt and has to go out, then what do you do? But yeah, it is kind of, you know, you kind of look at it and go, well, if you're going to do that, Vandy, South Carolina, New Mexico State, and Arkansas appear to be the games where you'd be like, yeah, let's see what he's got in those games, you know? So, yeah, that could just be an intriguing subplot as we go forward, so.
Well, especially if he, you know, looks pretty good, if he gets the opportunity, comes in and throws a couple touchdowns, yeah, maybe you start seeing him a bit more, because
right,
the Missouri offense has been the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, there's an opportunity for it to look a lot better if you upgrade at the quarterback spot. Brady has been good in spots, but you can be better.
Sure.
So, you know, if Sam Horn comes in and plays pretty well, maybe that's the opportunity where the offense gets an upgrade.
All right, I guess I'll just throw it to you then and say, does he maybe get that opportunity? Because is this one maybe a decided victory for the Tigers this week?
Yeah, everything I'm looking at is just Vanderbilt is so bad.
Right.
I really hope for the program's sake that Missouri is able to come out and dominate this game. So
right,
I'll say Tigers 35-14.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McAravey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McAravey on Twitter at Kyle_McAravey. That's McAravey. Thanks for listening.